The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. If you pay attention to the Old Testament lesson and the Gospel reading, and also to some extent the Epistle reading, you will see that these lessons have to do with the holiness of God's people. In the reading from Leviticus, the Lord speaks to Moses and tells him to speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, "You shall be holy, you, all of you together, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy." To be holy means to be set apart, to be sanctified, set aside for God's purposes. And this is how the people of God, this congregation, the Holy Christian Church, are to live as God's redeemed holy people in Christ. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus puts it this way, "You therefore," again speaking collectively, "you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Again, He is speaking to God's people, to you, and to me and all Christians everywhere, to all the redeemed and baptized in Christ Jesus. Multiple times we hear in the Old Testament lesson, "I, the Lord your God, am holy," or "I am the Lord your God, I am the Lord." That is significant in the Old Testament reading because the God speaking through Moses to the people of Israel is the God who brought them out of slavery in Egypt. He redeemed them. He set them free. He baptized them in the waters of the Red Sea. As He opened up those waters before them, they crossed in safety, and then the waters closed upon their enemies who would pursue and kill them. So in baptism, God has made the baptismal water by His word a life-giving water. And in that water, your sin was drowned. You died and were buried with Christ and were raised again to new life in Christ, and you were made one of God's holy people. So we come together as the baptized, as those whom God has declared holy in Christ Jesus, His Son. But how does this holiness show itself? How are we, the holy people of God in Christ, to live? Well, if you look at the Old Testament reading, we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And this love shows itself in concrete ways. Moses tells the people, when you reap the harvest of your land, don't go right up to the edge of the field. And when you gather the gleanings after your harvest, don't do it. Leave them for the poor. Leave those for the hungry who cannot provide for themselves. Thus you shall love your neighbor. And don't strip your vineyard bare, but when you gather grapes, leave some on the vines. Leave them for the poor and the sojourner, the alien among you. Thus you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself by not stealing from your neighbor, by not dealing falsely, by not lying to one another, by not swearing by God's name falsely and profaning the name of the Lord God. Don't oppress your neighbor or rob him. Your hired servants are to be paid by nightfall. And don't curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but those who are impaired, those who are in need, those who are sick, you are to help them because you fear the Lord your God, you trust in him. Don't do injustice in court. Don't be partial to the poor or defer to the great, to the wealthy. But in righteousness, in the court of law, shall your neighbor be judged. Do not go around as a slanderer among your people. And this speaks against slander and gossip in the church. Because he is the Lord our God, and we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Don't hate your brother in your heart. Reason frankly with your neighbor when he has sinned against you, lest you incur sin because of him, because of hatred toward him. Do not take vengeance or bear a grudge against someone, because that grudge will destroy your spirit and eat your heart out, and it will poison your existence. But again, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And Jesus applies this law today to God's redeemed people in Christ. He says, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. In other words, if someone pokes out your eye, you can poke out his eye, but don't cut off his head too. Jesus says, wait a minute, listen. I say to you, don't resist the one who is evil. If you, as one of my people, if you as a Christian are persecuted on account of my name, do not resist. Do not resist. So, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek as an insult to you, turn to that person the other also. Be ready to suffer on account of my name, to suffer disgrace, to suffer humiliation, to suffer hurt and harm. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, your inner garment, let him have your cloak also, your outer garment. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. For I, the Lord your God, am holy, and you shall be holy also. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself, and you shall love your neighbor with the very love of Christ. Jesus goes on to say, you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Well, nowhere in the Bible does it say to hate your enemy. But Jesus says, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you so that you may be seen or known as sons of your Father who is in heaven. There was a Jewish sect at Qumran, and the Qumranites thought they were the especially chosen people of God. They despised the Pharisees. They despised those in the temple. They thought they were it in the eyes of God, and they are the ones who said, hey, love those who are in the community, the Qumranic community, but hate those who are outside. Jesus says, no. Love your enemies. And here he shows us the very radical nature of our response to the gospel of God's love and forgiveness in Christ. Don't curse those who persecute you on account of my name. Pray for them. And again, in this way, you shall show yourself to be a son or daughter of God by exhibiting the very character of the God who loves his enemies, who, while we were still sinners, gave his son to die for us. After all, God makes his son rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And if you love those who love you, if you love those who treat you kindly, if you just love members of your family who are nice to you, what big deal is that? Even the tax collectors do the same. And when Jesus mentioned the tax collectors, that must have really gotten under the skin of the Pharisees, who despised the tax collectors as notorious sinners, as those outside the covenant, as collaborators with Rome. And if you greet only your brothers, and this word greeting is related to the word grace, what more are you doing? Don't the Gentiles, those outside the covenant people of God, do the same? No, go beyond this. You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. This perfection does not mean free of sin, but rather it means love toward others. Faith in God is shown through love toward the neighbor. That's a tall order, isn't it? Yeah, good. I'm glad you see that. It's a tall order. It's an impossible order. What's Jesus telling us here? Is he giving us such a high standard that we're going to just fall flat on our faces in the mud? Well, yeah, we do fall flat on our faces in the mud. And apart from God's grace and mercy, that mud would never be washed away from us. But we would go into hell wearing that mud, that lava of our sin, of our failure to love our neighbor. But listen to this. From the prophet Isaiah chapter 50. This is one of the servant songs of Isaiah. It is a prophecy of God's Messiah, God's Christ, the one whom God will send, written some 7 centuries before the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ himself speaking in this prophecy. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. And thus we exalt the word of God among us, because through that word, the Lord God sustains us when we are weary and heavy laden. He comforts us when the law accuses us of our sins. The very gospel is proclaimed to us to bring us the assurance of God's forgiveness, the comfort of that forgiveness. Morning by morning, the Lord God awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear to hear it. And I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. Again, in this servant song, the servant is declaring that he will accomplish the tasks that the Lord, his God, has set before him. And here's what he did. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace or spitting, but the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, have I set my face like a flint to accomplish what God has given me to do. And in just a week, on Transfiguration Sunday, we will hear how Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and he set his face to go to Jerusalem to die for the sins of the world. The servant song concludes, I know that I shall not be put to shame because he who vindicates me is near. The one who vindicates me by my resurrection on the third day. So let's find Jesus in this gospel reading that seems so full of law. And yes, there is law. There's the condemning law because we don't always keep it, but there is also the third use of the law. The law as a guide to us, God's baptized people, as to how we are to live through faith in Christ. But we can live by God's power because Jesus has been there first. Jesus has done it first. He actively fulfilled God's law on our behalf to cover up our deficit of fulfilling that law. And then he shed his holy precious blood, suffered and died in passive fulfillment of the will of God, so that through his suffering we can be forgiven and saved. So when Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, you shall not resist the one who is evil. And if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Jesus has been there. Jesus suffered these things. He did not strike back at his tormentors. He did not curse them. He did not call down heaven's wrath upon them. No, not at all. Instead, he loved his enemies, and you and I were his enemies. Enemies by nature, our sinful nature, and yet God has reconciled us enemies to himself and made us members of his family. Jesus prayed for his persecutors, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so he is our high priest, prays for us as well. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And that brings to mind our Lord's crucifixion when he was stripped naked and nailed to the cross as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. His cloak was gambled for that the soldiers might have it. But he has given you and me through baptism the cloak of his righteousness to cover up our sins. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. And Jesus was forced to carry the cross where he would die on Golgotha for you and me. Give to the one who begs from you. Do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Do you think your Lord Jesus Christ is reluctant to hear your prayers, reluctant to answer them? No. Through Christ, we can call upon God, our Heavenly Father, as dear children call upon their earthly father. So, we love our neighbor as we love ourselves, because Jesus first loved us so much that he laid down his life for us. We love God not because God first loved us. We love our neighbor because God loved us and gave his son for us. We trust in God and love our neighbor because of the gifts of the gospel to us. So, Luther puts it this way in conclusion. He asks, why do you want to come to the sacrament of the altar? Well, it's certainly for the forgiveness of sins, but in the Christian questions and answers, there is also this, so that I may learn to believe in God and to learn to love my neighbor. Faith toward God, love toward neighbor, it's impossible for us. But what is impossible for men is possible for God. And faith in God is made a reality through the gospel of Christ crucified, through your baptism, through the Holy Supper. And love for your neighbor is made possible through the very same means of grace by which you are forgiven, by which you are strengthened for your life in Christ, week after week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus your Lord. Amen.